Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Parker Kern, here, as most of the time, with my good friend, Father Jeff McBeth, our pastor. Father, how are you?
Hey, good. It is most of the time, because sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, because you're very faithful, and you're always here, which I appreciate.
I try to be faithful. Yeah. You know, yeah, I was going to say, as always, and I stopped myself right before.
That's
before,
right.
Before I could have the weird, like,
You're always here.
Yeah.
You're always here.
I'm always here.
Sometimes I got other stuff going on.
That's okay, man.
You know, I'm off at camp or something.
Camp is good. Mm-hmm. Camp is good. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to Damascus in, I think, March.
March,
yeah.
I know. Look out. Let's go.
I'm ready.
It's going
to
be great.
I think I'll be able to record that week, but
yeah,
you won't have
right.
me for
just
the weekend.
It's just the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it should be fun. I'm looking forward to
you be in there as well.
I want to see the hype. I want to see the hype. I'm
That's
ready
right.
for the hype.
Yeah. I've never been to the worship conference. I think it'd be a little something different, but I think it'd be good.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And I think Matt Maher is going to be there.
I know.
Which is like
exciting.
Insane.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, of course, Joseph Schleter, you know, who's the director of the Damascus Worship anyway, but mm-hmm. he's kind of becoming a bigger deal. So
yeah, he's pretty wild. He actually played a couple times here. For folks that don't know, he actually played a couple masses here, I think, for Easter.
Yeah, before he got famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just on the cusp. Mm. I know we can't afford celebrity rates anymore.
Yeah,
but he probably forgot about little old us.
Oh, I doubt that. I doubt that. I mean, we might have given him his star. Who knows? Somebody might have recorded
right.
him
yeah.
on the phone.
You're welcome, Joseph.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my best friend and his family actually went to that one, the mass down there, mm-hmm. which I was really upset with because
sure.
I think that was the first time that I was leading the mass in the church.
Oh.
And for Easter, at least.
Uh-huh.
And they said, like, wow, Jesus was really good at singing today. I was like, okay.
He does have the Jesus-esque look.
Yeah, they said he sounded like Jesus and he looked like Jesus. A lot better than you probably were.
Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little old me, as you say.
I know.
Who's afraid of little old me? You should
I
be.
Know. Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Yeah. Who's afraid of little old me?
Yeah, I try to
constant loop
up.
In my house. Constant
yeah,
loop.
I know. Yeah. I know. So.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But God bless you.
That's okay. I quote SpongeBob all the time, and it goes over everybody's head. So
true. That's right. I goes back and forth. Like, is that SpongeBob? Is that like Taylor Swift? Or
no.
what am I missing here?
No, no. You just gotta firmly grasp it in your hand.
Is that
that's SpongeBob?
Oh,
okay. I'm going all over the place.
Wow.
Now. You don't even know where I'm going.
Yeah, firmly grasp in your hand. It sounded like a Taylor Swift line, though.
No,
like, that was very
prophetic.
Yeah,
you might
it was profound.
Say.
It was profound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. They were jellyfishing. That was the episode where they were jellyfishing.
Mm-hmm. I think I missed that episode.
Yeah, you probably did. As did most people over the age of 28,
right.
probably.
Yeah.
And people with higher IQs than like 10, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I enjoy. It was great.
Yeah.
As I said, sometimes I'll just binge Sponge. I'll just put it on Paramount Plus in the background.
There you go.
It's, yeah, terrible.
It kind of brings you back to your youth.
Yeah, it's like having Coke and Jolly Ranchers every day. It's just yeah. like, you know, all the bad things of my childhood just come right back.
yeah. I don't think they stream any of the shows that were on when I was a kid. So,
oh, you might be surprised. What were some of your favorites?
We had G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
That's right. Knowing is half the battle.
Oh, now you're quoting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Thundercats.
I heard of that.
Voltron. Of course, we had He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Oh my!
Smurfs. I hate to admit it, but you
know, it's okay.
Watch the Smurfs.
Yeah, I watched Booba. It's
you
okay.
know. So I'm trying to. Actually, I watched cartoons like into high school because I was big into Animaniacs. I had a friend in high school who got me into Animaniacs,
mm-hmm.
and so I think it was like on at like I don't know 3:30 or something every day or 4:30, and so I'd come home from high school and watch.
Was that on Cartoon Network?
I want to say it wasn't. I think it was on like a network, like back when they
oh.
still showed like afternoon cartoons.
Oh man, I missed those
so,
days.
Yeah, Animaniacs was great. So cool. actually my as I mentioned before, my cheerleading escapades, my cheerleading name was Yakko.
Oh
it was,
yeah.
It was one of the major Animaniacs characters.
It was on Kids WB.
Okay.
Kids
yeah.
WB.
Was I just remember I found the channel.
It aired on Fox.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Fox Kids Block in 1993 before moving to the WWE in 1995. Sorry, I'm dating
gotcha.
You, but
yeah.
So back to your wrestling.
Good times. Yeah. No, cheerleading. That was my cheerleading name.
Oh,
we all had
cheerleading.
Like nicknames
Sorry.
That we put on the back of our shirts. Mine was Yakko.
Oh my God.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm asking your mom again on the podcast to bring photos in.
So, I don't know there are any cheerleading photos.
Pat, fire them up, please.
I don't think, you know, we didn't have, no one had, like, phones back then, you know.
Oh, so, I'm sure she's got some.
There was a picture of us in the yearbook, just, like, out in the hallway. I don't think there's any cheerleading pictures.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah, again, we weren't doing, like, the pyramids or anything. Oh. And if we did, it was just for fun, you know, to just try to do it like other...
Right, just try to be like a normal cheerleader.
Real cheerleader.
I'm a real boy.
That's right. I'm a real boy. we had no pom poms. You know.
That's okay.
You know.
You don't need them.
We just yelled.
Just yelled. Yeah, at the top of your lungs.
That's exactly it. That's all we did.
That's so, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
So we had some things coming up.
That we do
this weekend, which is great. Family Faith Formation is back in gear, which is awesome.
Oh, baby.
Love it. Sometimes, especially after the long break, you know, with the holidays. But it's back. It's back on after both Masses on Sunday. So it's great. And at the same time, our new Alpha Youth going on at the same time for high school students.
Cool.
If you're around on Sunday, one, get a bus and breakfast, and then you can meet with Bobby and do the Alpha thing. It's great. So Sunday is also taking down the Christmas decorations in church. Mm. Very sad, but the season is finally ending, Christmas season. So that'll be kind of after Family Faith Formation, so kind of around 1:30, 2 o'clock ish.
Mm.
So the cool thing was, like, apparently we have like over 50 volunteers to help set stuff up.
Oh yeah,
on the 23rd. Of December.
Yeah, that was nuts. I was here for music rehearsal. Yeah. I was like, bro, this is insane.
Yeah. So we need all those people to come back and help put everything away. So, right, if you're around for Family Faith Formation, you know, it's like, why not spend all day in church? You know, Mass,
yeah.
Faith Formation.
Get your
Christmas tear down.
Yeah.
So it'd be great. So, yeah, we could really use some help with that on Sunday afternoon around 1:30, 2 o'clock. It's very kind of a nebulous start time, but yeah, we'll all be down there kind of after the Faith Formation wraps up.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. Another little thing that our neighbors at St. Clair Commons need help with is help with their Masses. So Father Joe has Mass over there on Monday and Wednesday mornings at like 10, but they need people to help get people who are in their rooms, like in a wheelchair, kind of wheel down to their little chapel there.
Yeah.
You know, and if people are like, hey, remember, we got Mass at 10. Or if they, you know, someone's not feeling well, like, oh, we can bring you communion afterwards or something like that. So I have a team like that for the Masses I do at Otterbein and Pemberville and in Perrysburg. And it's great. It's a great ministry. It's a blessing. So if you'd love to help out at St. Clair Common on Monday and Wednesday mornings, you can call over there or get with Father Joe and he can probably fill you in. I know they're looking for some people to help make that happen. So, yeah.
Cool. Do you know how many they're looking for?
I don't know exactly.
Okay.
Probably more than two. So, yeah, because, you know, it's...
I'm sure that's a workout, though.
Yeah, like, exactly. Probably the more the merrier, you know, and you're not scurrying around as much.
Yeah, bring your walking shoes.
Mm-hmm. So I know they're looking for some help with that. So that would be awesome if you feel called to do that.
Yeah, cool.
But so this Sunday is the baptism of the Lord, the final day of the Christmas season, mm-hmm. and transitioning back into ordinary time. But so it falls on the Sunday after Epiphany, but because like a lot of things in the calendar, if Epiphany is too late, like if it's on the 7th or 8th, then we don't get baptism of the Lord on a Sunday and it falls to a Monday. So I think even the last 2 years, because Christmas was on a Sunday, then a Monday, you know, we didn't get the baptism of the Lord on a Sunday. So this is like, we're bringing it back.
Yeah.
We're bringing baptism back.
Bringing baptism back. Got the leaf in the table.
That's right. Sorry, I paused for a little sip.
That's okay.
So, so this is actually the second of three epiphanies. I think we talked about this last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Epiphany, the manifestation of God's presence in Jesus. So there's the, you know, the visitation of the wise men to baby Jesus. And then here's a baptism. And then next week we have the third Epiphany of the wedding of Cana. So this is from Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, and then skipping to 21 and 22. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. So maybe we even can ask, like, why does Jesus have to be baptized? You know, like, we know we need to be baptized to, you know, take away original sin or actual sin if we're older. And, you know, it brings us into the family of God. And, you know, it kind of marks us out for the life of heaven and all these kind of things. Well, Jesus already has all that, of course, is fully God. And so why does he have to be baptized? So I think it's important to remember everything that Jesus did was for us. So that when he kind of went down into the water, that he, in a sense, sanctified it, you know, so that he could, it's part of his way of blessing, you know, the act of baptism. Of course, John was baptizing people. And that was more symbolic. Like, people had something they needed to, you know, to repent of and were sorry. But it didn't have, like, an effect, like our baptism does. It didn't, like, wash away any sin. It was just a sign that people knew that they had had something that they were sorry for, because we didn't have Jesus yet and Holy Spirit, you know, that would allow all that stuff to happen. But, you know, we talk about Jesus entering into our human life in every way, and so that was just another way that he humbled himself to enter into our life, you know, to enter into this act of baptism, even though, like I said, he didn't maybe quote-unquote need it like you and I do.
Right, yeah, I think that's the whole theme of Jesus's life. He didn't need to do it. He didn't need to get baptized. He didn't need to save us. And he did it because he wanted to. He did it because he knew that that was kind of his mission.
Yeah.
But certainly he didn't need it. Right. I mean, God doesn't really need anything. But right. God desires for all these things to happen.
Yeah, we need it.
Right.
And then God desires that in his love for us.
Exactly.
So that we can enter into his life. You know, like I talked about Christmas. You know, he humbled himself to share in our humanity so we could share in his divinity. Well. And certainly for us that process starts at our baptism, and though, you know, Jesus, and maybe it's one of those things, like, wouldn't ask us to do anything he wasn't willing to do.
Right.
So he did that as well. And so then, right, then the part of that, the epiphany, the manifestation then, you know, is like the Father saying, you're my beloved Son,
mm-hmm.
you know, declaring him as the Son, the Son of God.
Yeah. And obviously God speaking to Jesus, but all are watching. People that were, and it said at the beginning, it was cool, filled with, was expectation. They were filled with expectation. Yeah. So, like, imagine, again, there's a guy there, and you think he's all that,
mm-hmm.
and then he says, no, not quite, but close, right? You're not far off, but, and then here he baptizes the Savior of the world,
right?
And then all of a sudden this voice just booms. I'm sure it was very loud,
right?
You know, this is my beloved Son,
right,
with whom I am well pleased. Like, of course I feel like James Earl Jones, right, esque, you know.
Yeah, or like the movie The Ten Commandments, like Moses.
Yeah, right. Oh. Exactly. I'm sure it was much more profound than that, but anyways, it's just What a moment, you know. And I'm sure that the people there that were filled with expectation had just that hope and that vision, being able to really see that and enter into it. And I think that that's, again, sometimes we talk about a lot on here. It's just we kind of come in and hear about it and go, yeah, that's great, but yeah, We didn't see it, so it's tough to really put into our own psyche of, you know, this actually happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the great challenge for us, and also the great challenge for us to really take that baptism to heart. Mm-hmm. And really understand that means a lot.
Yeah.
For us as Christians, as Catholics, what that sacrament signifies for us. Obviously, it's, you know, our entrance into the church. But again, Jesus doing that kind of flipped it on its head, symbolized, right, like you said, like he's not making us do anything he wouldn't do himself.
I think it's important to remember, too, that this is before, like, all his public ministry. So he got baptized, and then the mission came after that. And I think, again, sort of showing us the way, right. Doing it for us, you know, so that when we're baptized, you know, we're given a share in the mission. Mm-hmm. So even if we're baptized, like, you know, as a 1 month old or something, so right, you know, maybe you grow into that as you get older, you know, that mission. But like we talked about with the Epiphany last week, with, you know, that, you know, our light's supposed to shine. You know, to those around us, and people are supposed to see God's glory through us. And like I said in the homily, like Jesus is for everybody, but not everybody knows that, you know? And so, you know, God has called us to share in that mission. And so, that missional call starts with our baptism. It's confirmed in confirmation, which is part of why that's so important. Just as Jesus' baptism kind of kicked off his, ministry. You know, our baptism really was meant to be a kickoff to our mission and ministry as well. And so it's a challenge for us to step into that reality more as well.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the cool part about baptism is that a lot of times we don't really know what's happening to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're so young, we don't really even know what's going on. Like, we can make all the faces we want and cry and scream. And, you know, you've had probably, do you know how many kids you baptized ever?
I could probably count because I keep track, actually.
I know you keep track. I didn't know if you had like a running total.
I think I did count, like, I don't know, a few months ago, just out of curiosity, but I can't even remember what that is now.
Is it like in the hundreds, the thousands?
Not thousands, hundreds, though. Hundreds, wow. I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's cranked up since I've been here.
Oh, I'm sure.
I've had a lot, you know, in the last 2.5 years.
Young, vibrant church here.
So, yeah, but...
The cool part, I was gonna connect something, I hope. We don't know what's happening to us.
Oh,
It's happening to us before we're even aware that we're even a human.
Yeah.
Most times.
Right.
And, you know, the cool part about that is that obviously Jesus was sentient and he was aware. But on the flip side, the people didn't know who he was yet. And it wasn't until that when, you know, because again, they're all expecting John's it. You know, I'm putting my money on this guy. He's going to save us all. And he's like, nope, not really. But this guy is. And then all of a sudden, that whole moment happens. And then they're realizing it in real time and going, oh my gosh. So they're becoming aware, just as kind of we become aware as we grow and develop in our faith here in the church, as we get older and we have First Communion and we have confirmation and things like that.
And I think a good reminder that it's all a gift, you know, which is part of the great thing about baptizing, you know, ones that are so little, that it's a gift. Just like being a part of a family is a gift. Like, you didn't choose to become part of your family, and I didn't choose to become part of my family. It was just it's a gift that we're given. And, you know, the same is true in baptism. We're given that gift of being adopted into God's family, you know, and all the great things that come along with baptism. You know, there's no, you know, test to pass or anything like that. You know, it's just, you know, the movement of God's grace and this gift to us. And then it's our job is to unpack that gift. I probably quoted this before. Brad Pierre in Mount Damascus, you know, likes to say the two greatest days in the life of a Catholic are the day we're baptized and the day we figure out why.
Oh, yeah.
Like what our mission is, what our purpose is, how we're supposed to live that out in our life. And so, right, so even if we, like, don't, like, remember because we were little, you know, that still happened. And we can move into then figuring out the why, like, what that means for us and what we're supposed to do with that and how we're supposed to live that out. And to continue to call upon the grace that's there. which I think is a cool thing to do. And I try to do that as part of my prayer sometimes when I remember, you know, is that, you know, God, stir up in me in a new way, you know, the grace you give me in baptism. You know, because there's a lot of a grace that's just sort of can be dormant, you know, and gifts unused, and we just need it unwrapped and put to use in a better way. And we need God to maybe show us where that's supposed to be.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's like getting a gift from someone that you don't really kind of appreciate at the time, you know? It's like, you know, my dad used to buy me tools. I'd be like, thanks, Dad. Great. You know, like when I was in college, I had an apartment, and like he'd be like, you might need this tool someday.
Right.
And I'd just go, yeah, okay, I guess, you know? And then like one day when I need it, I'm like, that's the tool.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
I love that.
Like the significance of it was right there. And then kind of like you said, like, you get it, and it's, I mean, you're grateful for, like, the gesture and everything, but you're just kind of like, I don't really know how this fits. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden when you go, I need this thing.
Right.
Then, you know, you figure out the significance. That's an interesting kind of connection there.
Yeah, and I think the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive then at confirmation help us to know that, you know, especially, like, the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all that is like, how do we put those tools to use, you know?
Yeah.
And the gifts that we were given, like, oh, this is what I can use that for, you know, and God wants to help us with that, you know, so that we can live out the mission he has in store for us and that relationship that he's meant for us.
So. Absolutely. That's wonderful. Let's pray on that, Father.
Oh, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, we thank you for choosing us, to be part of your family. And for enabling us to enter into the mission of making your life known to a world that you desire to become more alive because you're the Lord of life. And as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord this weekend, that we can recall with wonder that gift that we received ourselves and stir up those graces in us for your glory and the good of one another. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Parker. Thanks, everybody. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.